Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like game and object design, ethics, the visual arts, and communications. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
We're joined on this program by Shane Flores and Becca Sharp from New Mexico Highlands University. Shane is the research assistant for the Manitos Community Memory Project and holds a BFA in Media Arts from New Mexico Highlands in Las Vegas, New Mexico. He is currently the principal at Studio Wet Future, developing history and culture-based content for cultural institutions, including the Bradbury Science Museum, the City of Las Vegas Museum, New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and UNM Maxwell Museum of Anthropology. Becca Sharp is a BFA student with a focus in multimedia and interactivity in the Media Arts program at New Mexico Highlands. She specializes in developing virtual reality cultural artifacts using Unity and Blender. She has been a part of creating and installing different exhibits for museums and historic sites in New Mexico and plans to continue working around New Mexico while getting her MFA at Highlands University.
Becca, I wanted to start by asking you, I know that you've focused a lot of your student work with this project around sort of recreating lost spaces. Are there other students at Highlands who are also activating the Manitos archives and interpreting some of the materials in different ways?
Yes, actually, over the summer, we had multiple interns who worked on this project, one being Natasha Vasquez and the other Frank Naranjo. Natasha made a beautiful comic book, essentially a battle between atole and coffee and which is the better morning drink. And so she made this comic book, and it's actually digital as well, so it's accessible, and it'll be able to be downloaded from the Google Play Store. Frank Naranjo was able to create an environment and really trying to connect the user with your abuela, connecting with your abuelo. You go around the community helping your abuelo, go help the mayordoma, and different things like that. And so more students have been involved in the Manitos project, and I only hope that we'll continue to work with Manitos and continue to build these projects.
But some of them are helping collect materials for the archive, it sounds like, and some are helping to use the archive to create these new activations.
Not necessarily collecting the archives. That's a lot of Shane's doing. But using these archives to share them in a different way and different ways to interact with these archives.
It's one thing to access something sometimes on a screen, but I mean, are they actually going around and saying, you should go look at this stuff?
Yes. So you're in this environment and you're traveling through this town, this rural community, and you're making your way to your abuela's house. And she's like, welcome, I've missed you. I really need water. Can you go to the acequia? And it's clogged. We need help clearing the acequia so that the water can flow again. And so you travel to the acequia, you do your task, and you help bring water to your community. And so it's recognizing the community and the very important role that each community member plays.
But this was a virtual experience that was created by the student.
Correct.
Okay. I thought it was a thing where they were really going around and actually doing this and then documenting. Okay.
Well, actually, most of our students do come from rural communities. And so in this project, I was actually able to connect with more than one student who was from Cuesta or had family in Cuesta. And they were able to share stories with me about, like, their mom traveling to the mountains when they're mad at their grandma because it was right in their backyard and they can just go for a hike. Whereas Frank, the student who made this experience of walking around this town, comes from a rural community as well and went home to visit his abuela and abuelo over the summer and collect stories from them as well that he can interpret in his game.
Are there other projects that have been coming out of the archive that you feel are worth noting, Becca?
Definitely. We've actually talked about a phase two for this project for the Manitos and actually rebuilding the Loreto Academy that, as you know, no longer exists in Santa Fe.
And I don't know. Pretend I'm ignorant, which
okay.
I am.
So the
It'll be easy.
The Loreto Academy existed in Santa Fe. It no longer is a building in Santa Fe, but you can still visit the space. Loreto Chapel is a very hot tourist spot. As you know, it's the stairs without nails in it or anything. And I have visited this space. This is something that we want to create in the future, another experience of taking people to a place that no longer exists that had a very strong community impact, specifically the Loreto Academy with women in the school and focusing on academics for women.
And this is mostly, it's maybe students doing this or assistants at NMHU, or is that sort of where this is going?
To start with, say, like Loreto Academy example, just because we're talking about it and stuff like that. You know, this is a building that Becca got interested in over the summer that there just wasn't time over the summer. And then it, you know, got expanded. And I think one thing that's really interesting just there is this is an opportunity for the expansion of Becca's skill set for how she's wanting to do things and how she's expanding her research thing, which is not only will it start to be designing the buildings, but also go into the research and go into the ideas of doing the collection of stories and memories. So this is going to be a big expansion of maybe what happened over the summer. Becca will probably hopefully have help and doesn't have to do it all herself because it's going to be a big giant project. So this will probably be where that expansion would happen, I would imagine. And so she's going to have to become a project director as in addition to a lead researcher and a designer. It'll be very ambitious. We're the media arts department, so we're really good at this activation thing, which is, you know, how we even started to do this with these three different projects. But, you know, there's different skill sets really with UNM and those partners there, which might be more suited to things like developing out the archive itself, dealing with metadata, dealing with maybe some of the back end things for making the that part of the workflow and the creation of the archive really happen. So there is going to be a lot of opportunity for different students with different interests, I think, to do very different things in the second phase as this starts to develop out.
Say that I wanted to do some sort of activation or a project based on these materials. Are you all looking at setting up some kind of, I don't know if toolkit's the word, or infrastructure or access for people, say, outside academia? And I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but let's say I wanted to. Is there a way for me to go and access this material and do stuff with it?
And Shane, maybe you can talk a little bit about how you've been working with the community partners and the UNM students who want to connect with cultural institutions to do the digitization work and what those outcomes are.
To speak directly to the archive, for example, right? This is a community project. The communities define this. The community partners are going to be ultimately inputting the information or the cultural assets and also deciding what to do with them. Like the way that the archive is developing out, right, is currently being developed at UNM, both as partnership with the DISC program and Fred Gibbs, who is...
History Department.
Thank you. He's actually created the beginning of the creation of this archive, which involves a lot of the community partners. Ellen put together an amazing workshop at Zimmerman to start to do this, and we did. We invited all the people who are interested, people like I mentioned before, who are already doing stuff in the community, already have stories they want to tell and collections they want to share, and they are themselves already starting to input things into this nascent collection and start to define those portals. It makes it very interesting. It's an open source archival program, I guess you could say. And so everyone is starting on their learning curve, including us. It's very adaptable. So it's in the process of inventing itself for the way that the Manitos community wants it and needs it to be. And everybody's learning together how to input metadata, what metadata is important, deciding on things like what shared terminology you use so that searches are usable. And so to get to your point, like, yes, if you're interested and you have Manitos resources and either want to put them into the archive, it's a matter of generating an account and generating a project and a page and starting to do that. The cultural default on this project is want to share things, right? But we do know people have concerns, and because of those extractive practices, they want to control over what they do share, right? How to utilize things like Creative Commons to maintain control over things, but be able to share them at the same time. There will be the development of these processes, which are like, yeah, if you want to do something with these things, work with the people who shared them or work with community members. You know, this peer-to-peer thing is very important, and it is different. This is about people working together to do these things. You know, this should be a dialogue, and it'll be a dialogue between the people who shared things, and it'll be about a dialogue with people who want to activate, right?
Especially more on the what you call the activation, or what I think of as the project side or the interpretive side. Democratization is a great thing until it goes horribly wrong. It sounds like there is a desire for the communities that are feeding into the archive to be a guiding force also in how the archive gets utilized.
People are, and they are concerned, and some people are a little bit more where they're like, oh, I'll just put it out there, I don't care, you know. And then on the other extreme hand will be, and we know there'll be situations like, yes, I want this saved permanently, but I'm not ready to share it yet. And that's where I said that's that differentiation between the archive as a repository and as a resource for activation, you know, because it's those two different things. And I think it's a good thing about Amica S is it has the tools available to address everything along that spectrum, right? Not everyone is signed on for this, but my own personal idea is what I like about something like Creative Commons, because you can say things like, yeah, go ahead and use it. I'm not going to charge you for it, but don't use it to sell things. Don't edit it in a way that I don't approve of. So maybe this is optimistic of me, which is very unusual for me. But but I think that, you know, I think it'll be working out where people will be able to have a good experience with how they share and how they activate things, right? And it'll become a very positive experience.
May I add on to this since you dragged my name into it?
Sorry.
One of the things that Shane and I have done is document everything extensively. And so all that documentation from the three-day workshop is available at the New Mexico Humanities Council website. nmhumanities.org/manitos. So if you were a cultural institution and you said, this is something that we need to be a part of, you can go and catch up. And then the collaborative environment that all these partners is working in is an online environment where all the discussion is also recorded. And so there's a nice digital history that's part of the digital archive. The learning how to add to it and how to interpret it, and then also capturing these discussions about copyright use. What are the issues that might come up? What if my cousin says I can't share grandma's photos, that they're not mine to share? How do we negotiate those as individuals and institutions? So all of that has also been captured and is available for new partners who, with good intent,
right,
not shady interpreters.
which is funny, because your wonderful notes here, Ellen, the first item here, which we'll now, I think, end this segment with, is sounds like there is a goal with everyone involved to almost use this as a kind of a pilot project to work out a way for librarians, community stakeholders, students, and academics to approach this sort of archival work.
Yeah, I mean, and so one thing we haven't talked about, which I think is important and important to acknowledge too, is, you know, there is a whole digital repatriation aspect of this, which is looking at things that are currently siloed up in traditional archives, knowing that that knowledge is there and things. And so far, every institutional partner that's been approached, they're like really excited about this. Like, yeah, we want to help you do this. Let's get this. So that interface between this thing that we're really focused on, which is a community-based archive, and the institutional archives, I think, is going to be a very positive interaction.
So when you say that you've approached them or they get excited, that's because you're also getting some material from traditional archives and digitizing that, putting it into the Manitos project?
That is definitely a goal and something that's being looked at probably for phase two, because...
But that's why they get excited, because they want to bring that material into the fold, especially.
Yeah. My interaction with archivists is that they want their archives to be used and they want them to be shared. We kind of actually provide an opportunity for that because, like, you know, it's a reason for them to share their stuff in a way. So, you know, the details haven't been hammered out, but in principle, the idea is how can we create an access through this community portal to make it really easy for community members to access things that are currently siloed up at traditional institutions?
Well, and especially if you have someone like you, Becca, who's creating interpretive materials or activations of this archive in ways that young people are really going to like a virtual reality game or a mission-based environment. I'm going to have to go explore this stuff more myself personally.
If you want to learn more about the Manitos Community Memory Project, you can visit manitos.net.
Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, string bassist and loopmeister extraordinaire. Production assistance by Tristan Klum.